That's how you have to learn Torah. You come from Yan, from Yan, from Yan, from Yan, then you put it all together again. If you want to see a classic example of how you do that, the Mordechai Miller's Shabbos Shirim are built like that. You ever looked at them? He starts off with a kasha, and then he asks another kasha, and then he says, okay, and then he starts bringing from five different places that seem to have nothing to do with anything. And then at the end, he just puts it all back together, and you understand that everything just, you know, and then and you come away with clear first principles. It's amazing. There's very few people that have the ability to do that, and he's one of them. The problem, Yaris, is you forget where you were, and you lose track of the thread. Anyway, we're in the sugya ultimately of, originally we're in the sugya of Yisurim, trying to understand why there is a thing called Yisurim, what's the tachlis of Yisurim, what are we supposed to do with them. We saw the Akedah, which taught us a lot, the two tafkidim, the Avram tafkid, the Yitzhak tafkid. And then we started dealing with the subject of Tzadik V'ra'alo, Rosh V'toivlo. We understand what Roshoim have to have Yisurim. We don't understand what Tzadikim have to have Yisurim. They didn't do anything wrong. we said that Yitzhak was the Tzadik. He got up, he was on the Mizbeach. So that was fine. But what about the Ayel? The Ayel was Shechted, was the representation of the people who weren't keeping Torah mitzvahs. So they have to dance Kiddush Hashem. We said it, because they didn't live as Kiddush Hashem. But why do we see 2,000 years of history where the Tzadik who lived as Kiddush Hashem, died as Kiddush Hashem as well, and went through the same Yisurim as the Rosh Hashem, Makorepo. That was the problem we had. We said that yesterday?
We didn't.
Oh, no, so we're not going to say. We're not going to say anything that's not written here for now. There is that aspect. There is that aspect that needs understanding as well. It also needs understanding. So we said that we have to learn the sugya deep and understand it down to its core, even though Lamai said you'll never really understand this properly. The end of the day, after you've learned the sugya, you'll go back and say we don't understand, but whatever Hashem does is for the good. But that can't be your starting point. You have to go through and understand it properly as much as we can, and then step back and say, okay, we don't understand. And we saw, we're not the first people asking this kasha. There's a whole sefer called Eoiv. Dovra Melech wrote many kapitlach tehillim on this kasha. Moshe Rabbeinu had this kasha. This is a whole sefer Eiv. The whole sefer Eiv is this nekuda. What's this tzadik v'ra'alo? Then we explained the concept. This was the yesod we came away with yesterday. I think this is what we came away with. Was the concept of Olam being Heilam. That at the Sheresh of the Bria, the Sheresh, the beginning of the Bria, and that continues throughout, is that there needs to first be a Heder, a lack, before there can be a Gilui. Because in order for Hashem to create the world, in order for there to be anything kevyochol outside of Him, doesn't mean outside of it, but just to use human language, he needs to first remove himself from that place. If he's everywhere, there's no place for anything outside of him. Everything's part of him. He's infinite, he's one. So he creates kiviyochol a space, and into that space he puts enough light to maintain whatever's there, and there we make our existence. So we see that before there can be any giloy, the first has to be a header. Before the morning, you need night. Vayere, vayiboike. We spoke about that a little bit. Oh. And then we ended off saying, that's still not enough. We have to understand why Hashem did that. Why did Hashem set up the world in such a way that you have to first have this only from a matzav of helam can you come to the tov and the blocha. And to do that, we're going to go, we did this, no? No, we're going to do this. It's a good chazorah, and it's an important step before we take the next step. Achadayin aleinu la'amik b'inyan. Minarei levarei la'avin madua be'emes tova kodesh baruch hu es teva habriya bo'ifin zesh, rak b'matzav shel helam noichel legiel roiv toiv v'brochel. That's the way Hashem did it. Yeah, you first got to get a clap before you can get a clap. to put it in simple language. The first has to be a lack before there can be a bracha. The first has to be an erev before there can be a boikin. It has to be dark before there can be light. Good. Okay, that's how creative it could. Why? What do you have to do it that way for? L'shem kach aleinu lachzor ledvareinu shehu v'lil. In order to do that, we have to go all the way back and understand what we said above. So this is the chazor I said we need. Nidba'el anu ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu boru metzir shel nivroim chesor ha'tovim. We mentioned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu... Come closer. I don't know what this is.
What?
It's like whatever. Dangerous weapon. We said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world of creatures who are lacking everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do good, right? It's all the way back. Why does Hashem create the world?
To give.
Cause. That's why he created the world. Okay. Well, we know from our limited understanding is Hashem created the world because he wants to give. In order to give, you've got to give somebody that's lacking. You can't give thing to somebody who has that thing. So he created a world with people that are terrible creatures, not just people. The elephants are lacking as well. That are terribly lacking in order to give them. So now I'm trying to understand what's the purpose of this good. What is the greatest good that there's nothing greater than that good? Hashem comes to you and he says, you got one wish. What is the greatest good? You can ask for any good you want. What would you ask for? What's the greatest good you could ever have?
Closest to Hashem. The name.
Relationship with Hashem, relationship with Hashem. Shalom, Shleimus, anything else? What's the greatest good? There's nothing greater than this good. And you only got one wish, so don't blow it. You're close. It's not the relationship with Hashem, it's Hashem himself. The greatest good that is in the world is Hashem. So if Hashem says, I'll give you whatever you want, what should you ask for? It's Hashem. Because there's nothing above Hashem in terms of goodness and greatness. It boils down to a relationship in Achinami, but I'm saying the ik of what is Hashem, the Metzias of Hashem, that's the greatest good. There's nothing in the entire existence that is every aspect of it is toiv. Even his dinim are rooted in chesed. To be dovuk in the greatest good there is, and that's Hashem. What we call a relationship, yeah? That's what you meant. The Shema Tarazu, Nosen Lan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mareches Horois. In order to do this, Hashem gave us an instruction manual. She had Torah Kedosha. He gave you Torah. Kol Asiyetz Mitzvahs, Miramach Mitzvahs Aseh, Vekol HaMenois, Shmishasa Mitzvahs Lot Aseh. Every doing of an Aseh, and every refraining from a love, from a Lot Aseh, Mekarava says Adam Leboira, brings you closer, we'll understand what that means now, to Hashem. V'kach amna megalim lanu chazal ki trayag mitzvoy soye shel ha-toyre materasen la'ivanu le'upo didobek. The mitzvahs, the 613 mitzvahs have one purpose, is to bring you to dveikus b'Hashem. That's what they're there for. Rav Noach used to say it better. He used to say there's 612 mitzvahs. The purpose is to bring you to one mitzvah. That's what all the 612 mitzvahs are for, is to get you to one mitzvah. But even Vayavtas Hashem Elokecha is a mitzvah that brings you to Vot Didobek. What does it mean to Makarev to Hashem? Somehow he's there and I'm here and I have to like get closer. When you say you want to get close to Hashem, you want to get close to Hashem. Everybody wants to get close to Hashem, yeah? We use the word all the time. What do we mean when you say I want to get close to Hashem?
Midas?
Clarity, midas. What do you mean by midas? Oh, you mean to be similar to him, to imitate him, to emulate. Oh. closeness to Hashem doesn't mean spatial closeness. Hashem lives in a world beyond space and time. We're not physically distant from Hashem. You don't know where Hashem is, he's right here now. Closeness to Hashem means you become more and more like Him. And the more you become like Him, the more you become one with Him. If Hashem is a mid of rachamim, and you develop that mid of rachamim, so there's an aspect of Hashem that you now have. In that aspect, you are like Hashem. You are with Hashem in that aspect. And obviously, if you have an aspect of the self that is not like Hashem, then you are distant from Hashem. If you want to know where this nails down to in the Shiroshim, and that is in giving and taking. The most fundamental midah of Hashem is giving, and the fundamental opposite of Hashem is taking. Therefore, when you're giving, you are mamash like Hashem, that's dveikus tzibora. And when you're taking, you couldn't be further away from Hashem, because it's the one thing Hashem can't do. If you only gave, then what?
If you were always only given, you never took money. Not too much as money.
You're asking, how can my taking be an act of giving? That's what you're asking.
Yeah.
Good, okay, fine. But that's not taking, that's giving.
But only once you understand that, otherwise it's just taking.
Then it's taking. Then you couldn't be further away from Hashem. In the act of taking, in the act of taking, you have distanced yourself from Hashem as far as you can go. And when you're giving, you're as close to Hashem as you could ever be. Now, some takings look like giving and some givings look like taking. When Rami Levi has a big mifta and they send him chickens for 2 shekels, that's not called giving. That's called taking. He's not doing it because he loves you, he's doing it because he wants money. That's not a chesed operation. He has chesed operations as well, which could be called giving. But lost leaders aren't giving, that's taking. When you go visit your mother, and you've just had a shawarma, and you don't feel like eating, and she offers you like last week's gefilte fish that she made, why do you eat it? Because you're hungry or because you're giving her nachas from watching her son eat? That looks like a taking. It's not, it's a giving. Reb Deskin in Kuntras Achesed in the chapter, which everybody here learns, because I've told you before, you have to learn it once a month at least. So everybody here knows that the take it out in straw for truth, Reb Deskin's whole is on giving and taking. It's called Discourse on Loving Kindness, and it's called Giving and Taking. And it's not shaykh to be a human being without that chapter. I'm just telling you now. Never mind a frum Jew. Reb Simcha told Reb Olawik, it's not shaykh to, he told me something different when he told me to learn that sefer. But he told Rav Olawik, it's not shaykh to be a human being without that. Because that goes to the core of what this Hatovah is and how we get close to Hashem and how we get distant from Hashem. And it's sometimes counterintuitive. Sometimes what looks like total taking and selfishness is actually the biggest act of giving. And sometimes the opposite. What looks like the most altruistic moment of a person's life could be kulub taking. He's doing it because he wants fame. He's doing it because he has a gava issue. So he's giving and he's donating. A very wealthy person once told me, he said, part of the gaiva of being a griar is giving stocker. He said, you know how much gaiva there is in giving stocker? I'm so rich that I can even help other people. A real guy, God, who worked on himself very well. He said, you know how much gaiva there is in stocker? So yeah, on the outside it looks like this guy's the biggest bald stocker and he's got big scha and whatever, and every time he's giving 10 bucks, he's digging his grave deep end. That's what you're asking. How can you live in a world when you never take? No, we live in a world where you have to take as well. The question is, why are you taking? What are you doing with what you're taking? How are you utilizing your resources? That's all. Yeah. I'm not going to tell the Moshe Feinstein sweater story because I've told it too many times, and I've even had Purim spills made about me on that.
Which one? The story?
The sweater.
I said, I'm not going to tell it.
Ask Binyamin Lee. He does people haven't heard it.
Binyamin Lee does a better Mordechai shirt than I do. So. Moshe took a present from someone when Moshe never took presents from anybody. And when they asked him why,
the knitted
sweater. Yeah. So when they asked him why, he said, I didn't take anything. I gave that person an opportunity to tell the world they gave me a present. It wasn't a taking, it was a giving. I mean, it's subtle. It's not, sometimes it's crude, sometimes it's subtle. You get a call from the bank and they want to know why you don't have a Katisa Shrai. Ever happened to you? I don't have a credit card, right? I've got a mortgage, I've got a bank account, but I don't have a credit card. So I get phoned regularly, right? Why don't you have a credit card? I said, I don't want one. She says, I'll say Tov Lecha. Good for you. Then it was good for me. You wouldn't be phoning me once a week. It's good for you. You're giving me all these presents and I'll take Katis Ashray? Or suddenly Bank Mizrahi became a Vardat Stocker? What happened here? I don't know if my Bank Mizrahi got taken over by Vardat Stocker. No, it's good for you. Yeah, it's good for me. It's lovely. Money, I say. That's an act of giving. They give you all these wonderful things or whatever, but they're taking. They want your bucks. Just an interesting aside, it has nothing to do with our subject, but to get to know where you're living, until something happens to you, you don't realize what's going on. How many credit card frauds in America alone do you think there were last year?
Millions, billions probably.
Millions probably.
For the whole year?
In 1 year.
Equivalent to every
person. I don't know, but the figure they threw out was 340 million. Reported incidences of credit card fraud.
Unbelievable.
Reported credit card in America. I don't know about the rest of the world.
Unbelievable.
Good luck, Michelle.
Do they make money that way?
Do you know what a panacea is? Every organization, every bank, every guy that's got a shop on a store on the internet, whatever, has to have a fraud department. It's crazy. You know how much money is being made out of this? We're in the wrong business, guys. Im ein Kämmer kein Teure, young man. It's very interesting. If you look at the Machane, the Golois, the camps of the Club Israel were set up, it wasn't random. You had Judah, you had Yisachon, you had Zvulun. What Makesh are those three? Why are they in one Machane? To Pasha, Judah's Malchus is the Melech. No, Melech has to run his Malchus al Das Teure. So he needs Yisachar. But Yisachar can't attain Das Torah if he doesn't have bucks. So you have Zvulun. That's why those three travel together. You need a money, you need a leader. A leader needs Das Torah. Das Torah needs money. Something. That's what the world is creating. The Ramban goes through all the different machanot explaining why everyone was gathered together. What's Reuven doing with God and Shimon? Because Reuven's Tshuva and God is Gvura. Shimon needs to learn from Reuven about Shuva. The Ramban is all on a lozochebiduk. So you need ein kemach ein teira. And in ein teira, ein leadership. It does Torah to run a country or an arm. Okay, just getting back to that. But more important to understand that that's where it cuts down to, at the core. The two fundamental atoms that drive a person are giving and taking. You filter everything through that. Ulam zoyselen ledas. Teraga mitzvahs einu chasverli koyves horoyes mizdandem shein ve'inyonaim soides nizgobim v'arochim ukrainim. Don't think that all the Torah is 613 instructions for living. It's that as well. But that's not all it is. It's not just the instruction manual for your washing machine. Included in there are all the secrets and depths of the entire Bria. It's a storehouse, a treasure house. The Efech, Tarek Mitzvahs, Heim Ve'etzim, HaTzofen, HaKoyed HaSodi, Shal Kol HaBria. It's the access, it's the Koyed HaSodi, it's the combination lock to understanding the entire Bria. Tarag mitzvahs mechuvenes keneged tarag avorim shebaguf ha'adam. The 613 mitzvahs we know are aligned with the 613 parts, aspects of the body. V'adam atzmei kulam mechuven keneged abriya. And Adam is completely aligned and a prototype of the entire Bria. Mashi yesh bo'olam yesh bo'adam. Everything you'll find in the world, you'll find in Adam and vice versa. Adam is a microcosm of the entire universe. That's why we call it the small world, because we are the entire universal experience is contained in every cell of a human being. And it has to be in that cell, because if it wasn't that cell, it couldn't be in Adam. Because the entire Adam is in every cell. We spoke about this yesterday. You know that. Biologically, everything you need to create the Adam is in one cell. Everything. And when that cell splits into two cells, it doesn't split into two half cells, it splits into two complete cells. And then it splits and splits infinite cells, each one containing everything needed to create that order. And if everything in the Bria is also in Adam, that means everything you need to create the Bria is in every cell of Adam. If that doesn't lock you off your chair, nothing will. You contain within you the entire universal experience. It has to be that way. Every aspect of an Adam has a part that is aligned, that is the exact replica in the Bria. When a person does a mitzvah, he injects goodness into that part of the Bria. That aspect of his goof that mitzvah is aligned to, when he does that mitzvah, goes and benefits every aspect of the Bria that's aligned against that Bria, that mitzvah. A mitzvah zunasi saliday ha'anayim ha'toive nikeris ve'anayim. A mitzvah zunasi boznayim ha'tove nikeris boznayim. If he does a mitzvah, we don't know, by the way, we don't understand which mitzvahs are aligned with which parts of the goof anymore. That's why we need to go to doctors. We spoke about this once, remember? Used to be when you're in the Navim, you didn't go to doctors when you were sick. You went to the Navi, told you which Aveira you did, and you knew what chiva you had to do in order to rectify the problem that you had in your body. You get cataracts because you look at things you shouldn't look at. I'm not saying that, we don't know. We don't know how they're connected. I mean, there's certain obvious things, you know, you give stock and then your hand gets well. I mean, I don't know. We don't know. We don't know how it works. We take antibiotics. We don't know. We don't have, no, this from a Moshe. We don't have, we don't know today which Aveira causes which illness. So what do you do if you have an illness? You have to do tshuva. So, but you don't know which thing to do tshuva for. So he said you do an antibiotic kind of tshuva. Sometimes the doctors don't know which bacteria gets killed by which antibiotic. They give you an antibiotic that kills a whole range of bacteria, and hopefully the one that's bothering you will be included in there. So too, he said you've got to find broad range tshuvas.
Tikkun klali.
If you're translating that correctly, then yes. If it's about saying 10 capital Tehillims, I'm not so sure that that's enough. There's a koich in saying Tehillim, I'm not saying not, and saying 10 Tehillims, or maybe even those 10 Tehillims, of all. Not the person has to do tshuva. You have to do tshuva. Sure. But which tshuva specifically to do? We don't have a Navi anymore. So you go to a doctor and you also do tshuva. Which tshuva? Try and find something that's broad based.
We only go to the doctor because there's no other way to get the antibiotic. Otherwise, we just get an antibiotic and it should
be. If the antibiotic is the correct ishtadlus for your particular ailment, then yeah, take an antibiotic. If standing on your head and reciting the Gettysburg Address is the correct ishtadlus, then do that. It makes no difference. The antibiotic doesn't do anything. The antibiotic doesn't do nothing.
So what's tshuva? You doing tshuva? Does that makes your migraine?
You have a mitzvah ishtadlus to take the medication the same way as your mitzvah ishtadlus to go to work. But ishtadlus ain't no moil. It doesn't do anything. You have to do it. Why? Just Hashem wants the world to run in the normal course of events. But in the same way that vinegar burns for Rabbi Chinin and Mendoza, the same way as oil burns for Rabbi Chinin and Mendoza, not because oil is combustible and vinegar isn't, and Hashem's doing a miracle. It's because by Rabbi Chinin and Mendoza, it's all a miracle. Oil burns because Hashem says so. So if Hashem says oil will burn, let's say vinegar will burn. And if Hashem says fresh air will burn, fresh air will burn. So a person understands that antibiotics don't do anything, so you could take a stone, or you could take a mox or whatever, the pill you want to take. It's all the same to Rabbi Chinin ben Doisa, but we're not Rabbi Chinin ben Doisa. So we have to make ishtadlus for the reasons we've explained why you have to make ishtadlus. It's not to help Hashem. Hashem doesn't need our help. It's in order to help your betochen. It's in order for you to protect your betochen so that if you don't take the medication and you keep getting sick and sick, you won't have charotah. That's why you have to make ishtatlis. And it's a big nisoy. Medication in the betochen field is an enormous nisoy. If you have a headache and you take antibiotics, it's all like klum. Why not? The pill doesn't do anything. Some pills have side effects, some don't. Chavis of Avodah says pills do not have side effects. A pill can't help you and it can't be mazik you. We see there's certain medications. Take steroids, you see there's certain medications that have terrible side effects. You have to know how to control them. These are big, big, there's not a small sugya this. It's the same as panosa. If you don't phone the client, he doesn't send the check. So why are you phoning him? Hashem says you don't have to phone him. You'll get the money whether you make the call or not. We don't see that in reality. Sugya we're learning with that you've done, Ishtadlis, Betochen, that's a big sugya. It applies here as well. It's not exactly the same because there's no din of bezeis apocha by medication. And how much Ishtadlis you have to make, etc. is different to the Ishtadlis you have to make for. But at the end of the day, if it's called valid Ishtadlis, you don't have to do more than that. You have to do the Ishtadlis. You can't say, I'm not taking medication, I'm not taking polio vaccinations, I'm not this, I'm not that. You have to do whatever's called normal valid Ishtadlis for you. If taking this antibiotic is called normally status, and taking an aspirin because you've got an infection is not called normally status, then you can't take an aspirin, not a Bichanina Mendoza. But if you were a Bichanina Mendoza, it would make no difference if you took steroids or aspirins or antibiotics or called Cordova. The question you should ask is, why does Rabbi Bichanina Mendoza even need vinegar? If that candle that's burning is old Tzibur Hashem, what does he need vinegar for? Just light the wick. Why does he have to make Ishtadlis? He's living in a world where there's only Hashem, there's no Teva, there's no nature in the beginning of this world. There's the vinegar and oil is exactly the same thing. Have you noticed that vinegar oil are different? When you look at vinegar and oil, you see a difference? He sees no difference, he sees Tzivu Hashem. So why do you have to light the candle? Why did Elisha have to lie on the little kid and put his eyes on his eyes and his mouth in his mouth? He wasn't doing mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. That wasn't a solemn moment. The kid had been dead for hours. Why is he doing that? It's a miracle.
Call on something.
So that's the one pshat that they say. If this is a much better pshat. At that level of Rebbe Chanina ben Doisa, what's the danger that he faces in his world? Gaiva. Rebbe Chanina ben Doisa, on his level, has a risk of becoming a Balgaiva. When you're living up there and everybody else is, you know, lighting vinegar and garnished guitar, nothing happens. And you're living in a world where it's all just Hashem and there's no nature. You can walk through walls and you can fly around the world and do all sorts of weird ninja tricks. You can start becoming a Balgaiva. So Hashem says, on your level, you need to light vinegar because that puts him in his place. If I would light vinegar, it would make me a Balgaiva. That's why I can't have miracles happening for me. Because I've become a total Balgaiva. It would destroy me having a miracle.
Maybe you're not telling us.
I have to play the game. Come on. I have to do what I have to do to protect my issues. It means I have to light oil. Because if I could light vinegar, I'd be in a lot of trouble.
Ribbon, you can't even do it. They'll be coming to you for brothers.
Yeah, you're right. Make a lot of money. Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa doesn't have to light vinegar to get a light. He needs to light vinegar to protect his integrity. Elisha Novi has to make... The door was locked. There was no one else there. There was no one else in the room. Why is he lying on this kid? There's no one there. It wasn't for everybody else. It was for him. It was to protect his midas. That's why he has to make his shabbos for no other reason. You understand from this that everybody's making ishtadlis for different reasons. But it's all there to protect your, whatever it is there to protect. Your betochen, to keep you from kohet vayetzim yodi, to protect you from becoming a balgaiva, to protect you from becoming depressed. Whatever it is, the betochen, the ishtadlis is not there to make money or to make you better. It's in order there to keep your spiritual levels intact. The more we talk about it, hopefully some of it will eventually sink in. Because in practice, it doesn't look like the theory. It doesn't look like that. Some antibiotic, what's this, an allergy to penicillin?
Yeah, can you say it's like the tinnitus? The Gemara says that you have to keep away from it.
That's an exception to the rule.
Specifically those. Yeah. So you can't say that this is also on the same.
No, you have to understand that one as well. It also needs understanding. We don't understand. Okay, good. Okay. That's about a sukkah properly, in its depth, at the shayrish, you have to understand it. Not these superficial pshatim that people fly around. That's going to help you. No, I'm just saying, you have to learn things properly. Better to know a little bit properly than to know a lot very superficially.
To fix your problem?
We're in the middle of sorting it out. It looks like it's a kifu in your book.
Fuck around.
You have to just do tshuva first of all. Something that happens because Hashem's telling you a message.